Couple things to call to your attention. First of all, on Wednesday we have a movie with McNeil at 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the John Paul II room. Also, Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine is open. It's open year-round, but they have their season where they have masses outdoors and so forth. That season is open. They also have their dining room open on Sundays for breakfast around 9 o'clock. And then they have lunch from noon to 1:30 or 2, I'm not sure. I mention that because they give me a discount. Also, if any of you have gifts that you want to give to Father Fabian, you can put them in the collection, or you can also drop them at the office and we will forward them on to him. Many years ago, before movie theaters became cineplexes, and they just had one screen, a fellow was visiting a very small town, and the theater was on the front, on the very end downtown, Main Street. He got bored in the evening, and he decided he was going to go to a movie, so he called the theater and says, "What time's the movie?" And the manager said, "What time can you get here?" The point is that time for us isn't always convenient, and God's time isn't our time. And this happened to me on Tuesday. This isn't a story. I was driving down on Route 2 to about 5 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon to go down to Cleveland for see a play, and I hit a deer with my car, and thankfully I wasn't hurt, although the damage is between $8,000 to $9,000. But so that meant I had to, and of course I was like, it wasn't hurt. I kept driving, and I was able to get off the freeway and come back here, and it meant that I had to forfeit the money for the tickets and the parking. And since I needed a rental car, my trip on Wednesday. I had to go down to the wake and funeral of my cousin Hank, and I didn't get out of here until about 10:30 because of the rental car and all that. It was very difficult. It wasn't very convenient. And this might not be a convenient time for us to evangelize, but this is the time we have. In the first reading, we see an account of Jesus' ascension. And the apostles ask him, "Is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom?" And Jesus ultimately responds, "It's not the right question. In the meantime, go back to Jerusalem, wait for the Spirit, and then you will be my witnesses." And when Jesus ascends, they're still looking up, and the two angels come and say, "What are you doing? You got to do what the Lord's going to come back, but in the meantime, you got to do what he tells you to do." So they get back to work. They go back to Jerusalem, and in 10 days, they will receive the Holy Spirit. It would have been good for them, at least in their opinion, had Jesus returned for his second coming, but that wasn't God's time. In the second reading, Paul prays for the Ephesians, and of course us, and asks God to give them a spirit of wisdom, to understand with that same spirit that was given to the apostles at Pentecost. He asks God to give us that spirit so that we can know and understand the hope that is in our call and the riches of the inheritance that is ours, that comes from Jesus' resurrection and ascension. And Paul says that it's their vocation and ours to live in Christ, to live in the church, which is Christ's body. Finally, in Matthew's gospel, we hear Jesus continue to reveal himself to the apostles. He says, "All power has been given to me." He is basically saying that he is in the Father, and he has the Father's power, and gives them a very clear command: "Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all that I have commanded you." And that is still the vocation for all of us, for every baptized Catholic Christian. It's part of our baptism. We have to evangelize, whether now is a good time or not. The Lord likewise tells us that we, while we can't see him as the apostles did, he is, in fact, still with us. Where two or more are gathered in his name, he is there in our midst. He is here with us. And he will make it possible for us to proclaim the gospel through the sending of his Holy Spirit, which we received in baptism and in confirmation. And he wants us to share our faith. And we are called to share our faith even in little ways. For instance, when we're talking to a family member or friend, and they're talking about their difficulties, we can tell them that we will pray for them, and even offer to pray with them. We are called to share the good news that Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension and the descent of the Holy Spirit is good news for us. We can invite family members and friends to Mass, especially if they haven't been here for a long time. And we are called to defend the truth when people deny it, and to defend it with patience and charity. We are to live a life of joy in Christ, in spite of the difficulties that all of us have to experience. We are to act in charity, even toward those who don't respond very well to our acts of charity, to understand that we are not alone, that Jesus is still here with us, and he will be with us, and he will fill us with his Spirit, that we may proclaim the gospel message to bear witness to what is true, that all may come to know the Lord, to believe in him, and through that faith in him may come to life.